Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
Joseph stands strong, and he would not allow his eyes to be fixed on the temporary circumstances to see what was going on with his eyes. No, he saw through his eyes and knew that he was still a child of God. He was still identifying himself by faith with Jehovah and the promise that he had made to his fathers.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
And here we are again, truth seekers, and welcome to another radio show. I'm a privileged man just to be able to operate in this ministry because I really don't feel like I deserve it, and I really don't understand how it works sometimes. It's amazing to me to think that I get a chance to sit behind this microphone, and most of the time I just feel like I'm preaching to the wall, and then somehow or another God takes that and uses it in a much greater way than I could ever imagine. I hope that wherever you are today, this morning, this evening, whatever time of the day that you may be listening to this, that God will invade the very air that you're breathing right now, and that He will take control of this time, and that something that He desires for you to hear today will come out of my mouth. And let's pray about that together. Will you pray with me and ask God to really just infuse His truth into our lives with this program today? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be used of You, to be called by You. God, I ask in the name of Jesus that You would take over just now, and that You would allow Your Holy Spirit to rightly divide this word and to give Your people exactly what You know they need. Father, I can't do that's a work that's much greater and bigger than me. But You are capable and able of doing all things well. You've never failed. You've never lost. And God, this is Your moment. So we ask that You would take it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to what I believe will be the last installment of I think it's been a pretty good teaching series these last few weeks. I hope you've been able to be a part of the teaching series that I've entitled Faith in a Box Full of Bones. And if you have missed any of the previous shows, this is the fourth one, and I hope it's the last one. I believe it will be today. If you've missed any of the previous shows, then you've not missed out. So take the time to please go back to the website, to truthinfusion.com, and you will easily find the radio page from the homepage there at truthinfusion.com. And from there, you will be able to locate all of the previous episodes, programs in this teaching series. Faith in a Box Full of Bones, Part 1, 2, 3 are already up on the website waiting for you. And we're going to work on number 4 today in the name of Jesus. If you've been with us, what we've been doing in the last 3 weeks, and this being the fourth, is taking a look at the life of Joseph, the patriarch, son of Jacob, and looking at his life and looking at faith that Joseph represented in his life and the amazing things that God accomplished in his life because Joseph was a man of faith. And our key verse for this teaching series was Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. And this is what it says. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. Now, we're going to get really down to it today. We're going to get into what was he talking about with his bones and what happened with the box full of bones. This is finally the moment where we're going to talk about that, but we're going to make one more point before we actually get into what Scripture shows us about the bones of Joseph and make a final tie to his faith through that picture of the bones of Joseph. But a couple of big points that we've made along the way, want to kind of just invest just a minute of time into that, and then we're going to talk about the third point of this teaching series, and then I want to close this up today. But we talked about a couple of weeks ago that faith gives us correct identity. When we have properly placed faith on Jesus Christ, we are tied to our identity, the right one. Our identity as Christians should be the Christ. That's our whole goal. Our effort in this walk is to become Christ-like. And so when our faith is on Jesus as the resource for everything that we're going to need, peace, hope, joy, strength, understanding, wisdom, patience, all these things that we need on a daily basis, when our faith is locked on Jesus Christ as the source and the resource for all of that, then Christ will become our identity. The world won't realize they're seeing Christ in us because the world doesn't know Christ. But when they see us living the life of faith, correctly placed faith on the correct object, they may not understand it. But what they will be watching is Christ in us. Properly placed faith ties us to the correct identity. But without properly placed faith, we'll experience an identity change, and we'll begin to identify ourselves with the things of the world. Joseph showed us that because in Egypt, he never identified himself as an Egyptian. He maintained the true identity of the Hebrew, the called of God, a child of the promise. And because of that, his identity remained true throughout his life, even into death. And at the moment of his death, he was speaking to the children of Israel gathered around his bed about the fact that the God of the promise, the one he had faith in, was going to call them back out of Egypt someday. And when he did, he said, make sure you take my bones with you. Now, last week, we spoke about faith in this way, the fact that faith ties us to our God-given purpose. And I wanted you to know that if you're a child of God, you've been called by God to a specific purpose in your life. And if your faith remains on Christ, then you will remain true to God's purpose for you. Now, hopefully, your purpose for your life is God's purpose for your life. But if our faith falls off of Christ and we begin to look to other things for the source and the resource to get through our day-to-day needs, then what we will find out is that misplaced faith will tie us to a false purpose or to a wrong purpose. We see that also in Joseph's life because he was in Egypt, the second in command, second most powerful man in Egypt, and really the second most powerful man in the world of that day. And he operated in his life in ways that benefited Egypt, the plans of Egypt, the future of Egypt. But Joseph never tied himself to the purpose of Egypt. He remained true to the purpose and the promise of Israel. And he knew he had a purposed role in the story of the promise that God had made to Abraham. And because he remained true, faithfully true to the promise, God was able to use him for a greater purpose than what was happening in Egypt. Without properly placed faith, we will tie ourselves to a false purpose. And if we're not living in the purpose God has called us to, we will never be fulfilled and satisfied with anything else. So that brings us to today. Today I want to make this point clear for a few minutes, and then I want to go into some time to tie this whole teaching up. Here's the lesson for today that we learned through the life of Joseph. Faith allows for godly perspective. I don't know what you see when you walk through day-to-day life in America today, but it seems like the farther we go along, the worse things are getting. I know that my grandparents said that and my parents said that, and now I'm saying that, but I tell you, you look at the news today, you look at the circumstances around the world, you look at the moral and spiritual decline of this great nation, America, and you see difficulty on all hands. You don't have to be a faith-walking Christian to notice that. Things are falling apart. And what we've got to make sure that we have, children of God, truth seeker, you've got to have godly perspective. Spirit-given, Spirit-empowered perspective. And that would seem quite obvious. In order to have that, however, we must be a people of faith. And not just any faith. It must be correctly placed faith. Faith correctly placed allows for godly perspective. There is a poem that, off the top of my head, I cannot remember who the author is at this moment, but I can remember the words. Listen to this. I love this. I've recited this many times in many sermons, even in teachings. Here's what it says. Life's dim windows of the soul distort the heavens from pole to pole and goad us to believe a lie when we see with and not through the eye. This is a poem about correct and godly perspective. When it speaks of life's dim windows of the soul, we talk about the eyes being the windows of the soul. So keep that in mind. I want to recite it again, and I want you to hear the words one more time, and then I want to talk about it a little bit and tie it to what we're talking about today. Life's dim windows of the soul distort the heavens from pole to pole and goad us to believe a lie when we see with and not through the eye. What the writer is saying right here is when we are looking at life, the circumstances of life, with the eye, he would say, with the eye, in other words, with our physical eye, seeing things through the eyes of the flesh and not through the eye. Now, what does that mean? I believe he's trying to point out that when we look through our eye, we are seeing with our spirit man, with the Holy Spirit's help. When we are looking at life with the physical eye and seeing life through with our flesh, then we are going to have a distorted vision of things. And this is so true. It taints our perspective. When we are living in the flesh and not by the Spirit, then the things of the flesh are going to pull our attention and pull our perspective and pull our desires. And ultimately, the longer you walk in that, it's going to pull you into sin. There's a verse in the Bible that says that the mind of the flesh thinks on things of the flesh, but the mind of the Spirit on the things of the Spirit. And so this poet is charging us with this. We've got to be a people that learns how to walk in the Spirit so that we are seeing through the physical eye past our flesh and with the Spirit. He's speaking of perspective. And this is what I see in the life of Joseph. Joseph's eyes were not fixed on the temporary circumstances. And let me make this point. Whether or not the temporary circumstances were good or bad, how many of you know, with just a rudimentary look at Joseph's life, there were some very bad times that he could have seen as just poor, poor, pitiful me, this isn't fair, God, type of moments in his life, and he could have given up, thrown in the towel. Many of us would have. I can't imagine what it must be like to take a stand, a very moral and right and spiritual stand in a difficult moment, like Joseph did. Here's Potiphar's wife. Potiphar is Joseph's boss. Joseph has been given a lot of control and power and leeway. Potiphar trusts him with all of his goods and the work and the ongoings of his house and his business. And Joseph has this place of great standing. He's a Hebrew. This is an Egyptian, and he's been given the favor of God and the favor of Potiphar. And here comes Potiphar's wife, and she looks at Joseph longingly and attempts to seduce him. And Joseph stands up correctly and rightly and morally and spiritually and with integrity and flees and runs from that situation. She falsely accuses him. And what happens to Joseph? He ends up thrown in jail, not for a day or a week or a month, but for 13 years. I cannot imagine what it would do to me to take a right stand, be falsely accused, and to wind up in jail for years on end. I can't tell you whether or not my faith would stand that type of trial. I pray to God that it would. but Joseph's did. And in a situation where most of us would have quit, thrown in the towel, thought God had given up on us, Joseph stands strong, and he would not allow his eyes to be fixed on the temporary circumstances to see what was going on with his eyes. No, he saw through his eyes and knew that he was still a child of God, called with a purpose. He was still identifying himself by faith with Jehovah and the promise that he had made to his fathers. But you know what? There was also some really amazing circumstances in Joseph's life where he was lifted to a place of high power and wealth and prestige. And again, maybe in a way even more easy than it would be to fall in the prison sentence, the vast majority of Christians would definitely have fallen off the horse in a moment where we had been given every dream come true. How many of us would have stood up true to the faith in those moments and not fallen into, the desire and the passions of our heart when we have all the money and all the power we could desire at our fingertips? It really shows the integrity of the heart of this man. For even in the most amazing moments, to not allow his eyes to be fixed on temporary circumstances. You see, Joseph's eyes were fixed on a timeless promise. And I would imagine on a regular basis, if not daily basis, he was remembering his homeland. He was remembering the promised land, the stories that he was told by his father and his grandfather that Jehovah spoke to Abraham, Joseph's great-granddaddy, and told him, I've got a plan for your people, and a promise will come through your line. And he was remaining true to the promise in Egypt, in prison, and in the greatest of circumstances. The perspective of Joseph was pristine. And it was rightly placed faith, because he was a man of faith, that he was able to do that. Here's a very familiar scripture. Most all of us have heard it, quoted it. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Paul says, we, speaking of Christians, people of the faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. Don't you know that the way things look will fool you time and time again? This world is built on shifting sand. The only thing that really stays the same is that everything changes. You cannot trust what we see with our physical eyes. We have to be a people that learn how to walk by faith. And when Paul used the word walk, like he did in this verse and many others, he's speaking of ordering your life, arranging your life and your behavior. We arrange our life and our behavior as children of God by faith, correctly placed faith on Jesus Christ, not by what this world looks like when we look around at the circumstances and the predicaments that we find ourselves in from time to time. Correctly placed faith allows us to see through the circumstances into the spiritual meaning behind it all. Don't you know that it is the spiritual world that is controlling the physical world? So if all we are ever doing is looking at the life we live with physical eyes and at the physical things, our perspective is surface and temporarily good at best, and we're going to wind up in a bad place. Without properly placed faith, you cannot operate with a godly perspective. But correctly placed faith allows us to see the reality of God's Word in present circumstances. Time and time again, this has become true. When I rely on what David thinks and David believes in the moment that David is standing and in what I'm seeing, I make bad decisions. I let people down. I disappoint the Lord. I fall into sin. But if I'm operating by looking at life not with the eye, but through the eye, walking by faith through Jesus Christ and not by sight, living on the promises of God's Word and not the promises of the world and my flesh and the devil himself, when we learn to operate this way, we can have victory, we can have freedom, we can have fulfillment in life. Correctly placed faith allows us to see God's reality in this world. And without it, we cannot operate with godly perspective. Joseph has shown us some amazing things, and some amazing things that his faith allowed him, not just for him, but for ultimately his brothers, his father, his wife, and his children, generations and generations of Hebrews to come. And 1,500 years later, you and I, the faith of Joseph has affected. What a man of faith he was, and what great lessons he has to show us. But here's the question that I want to end with in these last few minutes. How did God ultimately honor Joseph's faith? We're going to go through a series of scriptures right now, and I'm getting to a place where I'm ready to tie all of this up. The title of this series is Faith in a Box Full of Bones. We've talked about faith over and over, so let's talk about the box full of bones. And I want to answer this question: how did God ultimately honor Joseph's faith? So let me run through some things for you. Genesis 50:25 is the first time we hear about the bones of Joseph. This is Joseph speaking himself. We've already gone over this, but I want to read it again. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here, from Egypt. So let's follow the story of the bones. Follow me now, truth seeker. 144 years after Joseph's death, 144 years after Joseph's death, the children of Israel are still in Egypt, growing, flourishing in the land of Goshen. And a man named Moses has stepped on the scene. And I'm not going into the story of Moses, but there is a verse in Exodus chapter 13, verse 19, and here's what it says. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under a solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. 144 years later, God brings to Moses' mind a promise that he had made to his faithful son, Joseph. And Moses remembered the promise that the children made to Joseph. And before they left Egypt, before the Exodus, before they walked out, Moses said, by the way, before we leave, go get Joseph's bones. Stay with me. 65 years after the Exodus, after Moses had left Egypt with the children of Israel, 65 years later, 210 years after the death of Joseph, in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 32, we read this: the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem, in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and had become an inheritance to the children of Joseph. Joseph asked them to make a promise. 144 years later, God brings to Moses' mind the promise that he made to Joseph, and they bring the box of bones. 65 years after that, the promise is fulfilled, we would think, as Joshua takes Joseph's bones and buries them in the promised land, in the land of Joseph's fathers, in a land called Shechem within Canaan. But the story does not end there. And that would be cool. It would be cool, wouldn't it not, if the story would still end there. But it almost seems gloomy for it to end at the graveside in this service in Shechem. But I want to tell you that when God honors his faithful, It is even greater than that. Let me read you some verses in Ezekiel chapter 37, and we're going to finish this up. Here's what it says. The hand of the Lord came upon me, this is Ezekiel preaching, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as it had been commanded to me. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together. I want to leave you with this thought. Joseph's eyes were fixed on a timeless promise by faith. And he didn't just see Exodus from Egypt that day on his deathbed with his family gathered around, or a conquest in the promised land, or even just a burial in Shechem. Joseph was seeing through the eyes of faith to a day that was greater. A promised day that was greater, when the embodiment of that promise would one day split the eastern sky, stop somewhere up in the air and start preaching to the bones. And one of these days, Jesus is coming back and he's going to descend from heaven with a shout. And when he does, there's going to come a rattling of the bones in Shechem. And Joseph, the man of faith, is going to stand up again as the promise that Abraham was given calls him up out of the ground. You see, Joseph was looking at a promise, and that promise is resurrection, my friends. One of these days, Jesus will call Joseph home, and that box full of bones will be no more, for he will stand up again in the promise that he had faith in. God bless you, truth seekers. Have faith and keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.